It's Thursday, October 5th, 2017, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 201, Mario 60 More. Runtime for this episode is 55 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the internet's best and only Dragon Ball Z Dokkan Battle podcast. My name is Jeremy.
I've got a sweet Kura. I'm Tyler.
I've got Honeybee Pan, so screw you. My name is Zach.
The infection has spread. Now I am Legion.
What is your coolest character in Dokkan Battle? Because Zach's got Pan, and that's or Honeybee Pan specifically, and that's pretty sweet.
Cauliflower, Super Saiyan 2.
She is super useful.
I love my Cauliflower. She's awesome.
She's the best waifu we won.
Yeah, okay, so I knew nothing about this character's existence other than the fact that it happened. Is she, like, part of Universe 6?
Yes.
How did we never hear about her before?
Well, because all we heard about Universe 6 was, it's there, and Ciampa was like, they had Saiyans, right? We should get one of them. And he got Kaba because he was the greatest Saiyan in the Saiyan army.
Okay, so sorry, I thought Universe 6 was our canonical universe.
No, that's Universe 7.
Okay, I had them backwards.
Universe 6 is the mirror universe.
Gotcha, so my impression is she is Universe 6's Brawly?
No, that's Kale.
God.
So Cauliflower is Kaba. The big tournament's going to happen, and they need five more dudes. Because it's teams of 10, instead of teams of 5, like the first tournament. So Kaba's like, Sensei-senpai, you must join us and be on the team. And he's like, no, I can't. I took this arrow to the leg, and now I don't have a leg, so I would only slow you down. But you should take my sister. She's a slacker, but she's a badass. So then Kaba rolls up to this Saiyan girl biker gang's hideout, and Cauliflower is the leader, and she's like, yes, I will join your team on two conditions. One, my protege Kale, she's basically Hinata and a Broly over there.
Hinata and a Broly.
Yes, she must be on the team too, and two, you have to teach me to Super Saiyan.
So how did he get her to go Super Saiyan? I hate Kale, the vegetable.
No, he's basically like, yeah, Vegeta said all this stuff about anger, but as far as I can tell, there's just a tingly feeling in your back that you gotta focus on it.
That's awesome. Where you would have a tail, just focus on where your tail would come out.
And then Kale got jealous because she thought Cauliflower had a crush on Kaba and became a Broly.
Kaba!
Yeah, and so Cauliflower had to go Super Saiyan 2 to stop her.
Kaba rot! I find it really funny, like, the extremes that force Goku to become a Super Saiyan. And Vegeta is like, I'm gonna break your bro. And Kaba's like, no!
It's a little more than that. I think he threatens to kill his wife or something.
He threatens to destroy his planet.
His planet and all of his family personally, and also maybe torture some people. I don't know. It seemed like normal Vegeta stuff.
Well, yes, Vegeta is a jerk.
Yeah, I mean, that makes perfect sense. I mean, when Goku went Super Saiyan, Frieza had basically just killed Krillin.
Like I said, Cauliflower is basically just like, I'll focus on this tingle in my back. And she had to try for like half an episode. But some people had a problem with her going Super Saiyan so quickly.
I actually much more like it being a tingle in the back, though. That's fun.
I mean, it's kind of like Goten and Trunks are able to go Super Saiyan. It's kind of weird, but...
Yeah, I mean, they just watch their parents and are like, oh, that seems easy. I wonder, oh, yep, no, I can totally do that.
We're all playing Dokkan Battle. It continues to be the game that it is, which is a pretty good game that I spend too much money on, because I wanted that Super Saiyan 4 Vegeta, and this game has taught me a valuable lesson, which is, if you spend enough money at a problem, it will go away.
That's the American way of solving problems.
Did you not already know that lesson, or?
No, this just was very abject. Because I bought more than enough stones to get a Vegeta on average, did not get one, and was like, okay, I should stop. And then summoned one more time after paying for more stones. And then Vegeta came, and I was like, yay! It's real. It was a very weird endorphin rush.
I'm pretty sure they managed to program crack into the game, because that's the only explanation I can come up with for why I've spent money on it.
It's surprisingly fun. Like, the gameplay is simple, yet complex. I think of it as, like, Pokemon in that respect. Because it's not a very complex game, but it's surprisingly compelling gameplay despite being super
simple.
Well,
I was trying to figure out why I like this one more than Fire Emblem, because, you know, Fire Emblem has the tactical battles and all that. And I came to the decision is because it's more complicated. There's more levers that I can manipulate than I can in Fire Emblem, because Fire Emblem is very standardized, and the maps are very, very small, and it doesn't feel like a Fire Emblem game, whereas this one actually feels fun.
The way I've come to describe it is it's complicated by volume. It has a lot of systems that interact with each other, and none of them are actually complicated, but...
their interactions make it a little more so.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that this game, I think, hates me.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, like you said Monday, I'm not luckier than you, Zach. I just threw more money at the problem.
Yes, that's why I've gotten four Beerus... Beeropidae. We'll go with that one, Beeropidae. So I've got three of them still kicking around.
I have four of that tech Beerus Tyler was talking about.
Yep, I had three of them, and then I found out that it doesn't Dokkan into anything.
Nope,
so.
The red one does, though.
Yep.
And that's the one I've got three of.
Well, that's not bad. What are you complaining about, then? You can throw it at his hidden potential grid.
I know, that's why I'm keeping them.
Oh, I thought you were complaining about the fact that he had them.
I am complaining about them because that...
none of them are Kale.
None of them are Kale, yes, exactly. And that card that I summoned them off of, you're guaranteed to get one of the featured ones, and there's like... five or six of them?
Seven of them.
There's seven of them. And of all the ones I got two Piccolos, four Beeruses, one Caulifla, so it's all worth it, and the Purple Whis.
So I want you to... ooh, Purple Whis. I got Tech Whis that awakens into, like, Prelude to Destruction or something.
That is the other Whis that is on that banner.
Ah, yeah, I got him randomly a while ago. So I wanted to consider this for a moment, because you're complaining about getting too many Beeropidae. Really, would you rather have Kale or Beer?
That's a loaded question, because I hate both of these things.
Do you hate beer, though?
Yes, I hate beer.
You drink Mike's Hard Lemonade.
That's not beer.
It's classified as a beer
product
for sale.
I'm pretty sure that's a God of Destruction of Universe 12.
Just beer?
No, Mike's Hard Lemonade. They're all named after alcohol.
Are they?
Yeah.
What's Champa, then?
Champagne.
What's Whiskey-us?
Whiskey is one of them. I think he's the fox. One of them is just a liqueur. I can't remember what the Joker is.
What are all the, the training / advisor people?
The angels?
Yeah.
I don't know what their theme is. Whis and Vados, I can't trace.
I gotta say, though, it's pretty great. You've done the Kaba things, right? That entire story event?
I haven't done the entire one. I actually got to the one where it's like, you get a Kaba every time you do this. I'm like, oh, well, I'll just keep doing that then.
Well, later on, like, they get to the point where Whis is just needling Beerus about the guy that he brought with and told
Monica.
Goku.
Yep.
Yeah, Monica, the guy he told Goku is the strongest guy in the universe. Why don't you just put him in? He's the strongest guy in the universe.
That arc ends with Hit, like, Herculing to him, where, like, Monica does one punch and Hit flies out of the arena. So Goku continues to think he's the strongest in the universe.
That's great. I assume Hit has to be in on this, given that he's, like, ridiculously powerful.
Yeah, basically, the way that ends is... Goku does Kaioken while being a Super Saiyan God because nothing else will work on Hit. And Hit has learned to respect Goku because Goku has made him improve and he didn't realize he could. And then Goku's like, oh, you're an assassin by trade. You have to hold back because murder isn't allowed in this tournament. Hey, Gods of Destruction, can we allow murder for this match so Hit doesn't have to hold back? And Chopper's like, hell yes, we can. And Beerus is like, hell no, we can't. And then they argue for as long as Goku's Kaioken wears out and he like falls over exhausted and forfeits because he can't fight anymore. And so Hit decides to take a dive because...
oh, hey, you're a trained assassin. That means you kill for a living. Thanks, Goku.
I have so many Gokus that I'm not entirely sure what to do with right now.
Most of mine, I found out, don't actually, like, a lot of them are evolutionary dead ends.
I know that the three of the ones that I have, or no, four of them, because I have one Super Saiyan Goku that doesn't go anywhere. And then I have, like... three greens and two reds that don't go anywhere, but I'm like, do I want to keep them and use them to raise super attacks on other people? But then I can just farm the guy that I could super attack on.
I got
so
lucky.
I'm like, I don't...
And I got Goku from the end of the Buu Saga when he throws the Spirit Bomb, who's not Super Saiyan, so I feed all my lame Gokus into him.
Yeah, I've got one of those that eventually I'm going to make him Super Saiyan, and then he Super Saiyan Spirit Bombs eventually.
That's a different one. I have
him
too.
Is it a different one? Okay.
I have... Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan Goku, so that's
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. I don't have anything particularly unique or awesome, but...
this is the game that I've most felt though my Pokemons let me show them to you with.
Yeah, well, I mean, I at the beginning of this, I showed Tyler my Honeybee Pan, and I'm very proud of that, despite the fact that it's not, like, the most powerful card in the game. It's just like, this is cool!
Well, that's...
I definitely may have set my Kale to my leader right after I got her to needle people.
You mean Caulifla?
Yes. I can't remember who it was who.
I set Caulifla as my leader because I immediately realized that it was a better leader than the one I actually had set there already.
She is really good.
As I was mentioning this before we started recording, so I wanted to play this game like Pokemon, where you can just choose whatever you think is cool and make a team out of that.
Who would that have been? Hercule
and Videl, obviously, and obviously the Great Saiyaman.
I still want to make a team of under 10s,
yeah,
and I almost
team
can.
Gohan. Yeah, you can actually get the mask. He's one of the strike events.
I know, I almost can.
So, yeah, you know, I wanted to make essentially a theme team of that variety, which would actually be pretty decent. I suspect those people would get synergy from each other. The problem is, they aren't actually very good by comparison to some of the stats that are available. So
depends on what theme you want to go with. I kind of want to make a Universe 6 team, but I think there are only five good characters. I would have to get either Megiddo or Batamo, both of which I've already sold to Baba because I didn't want them.
There are two Frosts. There are two different Frosts.
That's true. I could use Frost.
I befriended someone who had a Frost, and the leader skill he has is like plus 15 attack, just all around. I'm like, that's useful occasionally. He hasn't leveled his character up since I befriended him.
You gotta prune that friends list.
I haven't gotten to the point where I can't put people on it anymore, so.
Almost my entire friends list consists of people who are using orange leaders.
Yeah, I've got a lot of blues on it right now because I've been farming Kaba, and he's, no, I was doing something that was red, so I was asking for a lot of blues.
Goku Jr. event?
Probably that.
I was farming purple things, so that's why I wanted a lot of oranges.
All right, so Zach, what have you been playing besides Dokkan Battle?
It went under maintenance last week for a while, and I'm like, I still feel like playing this type of game.
I definitely didn't download Naruto Blazing or whatever it's called because it was on maintenance and I couldn't play it, and I was jonesing. No, sir, I didn't.
I downloaded a Fate Grand Order, so it's the mobile Fate game. It works fairly similarly, only combat is controlled via cards. So you have a green, blue, and red card, and if you get like solids for all three of them, you do more damage, and you have a team of two people, then a friend or supporting character, and then two other characters that come in when your other guys die.
Backups, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. The weirdest part about it is like your characters don't gain experience in combat. You actually have to go in and level them up. So the way they kind of got around that with the summoning thing is every day you get a free summon on the friend summon thing. So you can always generate some of those. So you can always get these cards to level characters up.
Theoretically.
Yeah,
in
theory.
If you get lucky.
I have all kinds of like saber experience cards, but I don't have a saber.
Yeah, I was going to say, is Saber the name of a character?
She's King Arthur.
It's a class, actually.
Oh, that one. Okay, yeah, Justin's always going on about this show. I remember this.
It's actually a class. There's Saber, Archer, Lancer, Rider. I actually have one of the Riders that I really like. I'm not using her right now, though.
Stabby Swordor, missing from Saber.
Leader, I think.
Ordinary Magician.
Mage, Assassin.
Not actually magically powered at all, just a guy who pulls rabbits out of hats.
Shielder and Berserker. I think. I want a decent saber because I did pull a saber, but it's a Julius Caesar. And I'm like, I'm not interested at all. Then when I realized that, because I was playing that, I went and I looked up how much would it cost me to get the Unlimited Bladeworks series, which is like Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood or Hellsing Ultimate. It follows the story much more
closely
than the original one did. Because there's actually a dangling plot thread in the original that doesn't get resolved, and it's a pretty big deal in Unlimited Bladeworks, but because I think it's out of print, the series is like $300.
Oh, geez. That's way more than, and it's like, what, one season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
26 episodes. So, like, the first half is like 180, and the second half is like 180.
You know, I'm willing to throw money frivolously at some things, but that is...
I won't pay $200 for Kill la Kill, which is one of my favorite series. I'm not going to pay that much money for this Fate Unlimited Bladeworks.
I've been watching Kill la Kill, slowly but surely.
It's fun.
I'm at the part where she has to fight the Elite Four consecutively without going back to the Pokemon Center.
Yes, that's a good part. I like that part. But then I also, because I've been playing this Dokkan Battle, I got Xenoverse 2 because it was like... The gods of stuff were like, hey, you're jonesing for DBZ stuff, right? We're going to put that on sale for you, just in case you're interested.
See, the gods are like, you're interested in DBZ stuff, right? Here's this email telling you didn't get into the Dragon Ball FighterZ beta, but you can pre-order it.
That's
so
sad.
I've been playing that. I've gotten through just about through the Cell Saga.
Is it like all of it?
No, it's just game? Like you basically bounce to boss fights.
Gotcha.
So I basically went Raditz to a bunch of guys on Namek, of Namek fights.
I believe Xenoverse 2 goes through Resurrection F. I know there's some DLC for the Universe 6 arc and the Future Trunks second arc.
Yeah, there's some Beerus stuff in there. I'm almost to the point where I can go Super Saiyan. I'm like one or two levels down from being able to do that.
This is somewhat of a tangent, but I was talking to Alex the other day, and she's not a huge anime fan, and she's definitely never watched Dragon Ball Z, but I talk about it enough that she's vaguely familiar with some characters, and she just realized that there was a naming theme or naming pun theme.
Oh, I heard on a podcast someone realized suddenly that all the Saiyans were vegetables and go just about insane. I also remember when I figured out why Tarble is named Tarble and Facepalm.
It's god awful.
Why?
Oh, well, he's god. The little brother of Prince Vegeta.
Okay.
So if you have Vegeta,
okay,
then you have Tarble.
I
Vegeta.
Oh! I'm angry at that now.
Still playing some Mutant League football. I'm planning on recording a video of that and putting it on my YouTube and putting it up on the site here within a couple of days. And if people are messaging or trying to friend list me on Steam from the podcast, please email the podcast, because I'm not going to respond if I don't know who somebody is.
To be fair, I get few enough random friend requests, I usually just accept them.
I'm not going to accept a friend if I don't know who it is.
Yeah, they generally turned out to be well-meaning randos, so.
Yeah, but, like, these are literally random. Like, I don't know where they came from.
He doesn't know if they're well-meaning or malicious randos.
Well, like, if it was, I've friends listed some people on, like, League and stuff because they were fun to play with. And they're randos, but they're fun to play with. But I'm not, like, just random guy browsing stuff on Steam. Like, oh, that looks like somebody I want to befriend. It's like, dude, no.
Zach doesn't know if they're Rando Calrissian or Ayn Rando.
Exactly. Exactly. I've spent a lot of time playing Dokkan Battle. I didn't even realize it. Like, I spent most of Sunday just playing Dokkan Battle. And
that's
I was
really
like,
funny.
Look up and go, I've spent all day playing this stupid little phone game.
Yeah, I realized that I was going to have that problem, so I forced myself to do it in between off time for other things. The other thing I've been doing is every other combat I have, I will do plinking or push-ups or something for the entirety of the combat, which incentivizes me to, one, play less, and two,
Exercise more,
and three, to finish battles quickly. So
I had to lug a fridge upstairs yesterday.
It was a mini fridge.
Did you do it while playing Dokkan Battle?
I tried.
Anything else, Zach?
I played Spend Way Too Much Money on a New Phone.
That's a good game.
I know.
I feel like everyone plays that game once every 1 to 3 years-ish anymore.
Oh, I started watching DBZ. I got through Raditz.
Wait, really? Actually, like, not DBZ Kai.
That was not available.
What is wrong with you?
Dragon Ball Z is available on Funimation's website for free to stream.
Oh, yeah, I know what's wrong with you. You finished G Gundam, didn't you?
Actually, I kind of stopped because it's all subbed, and they're re-releasing G Gundam in a couple of months, and I'm just going to buy it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
This led to me and Kevin having a nice discussion about all the cool filler in that early Dragon Ball Z. Like that time that Tien, Chaozu, Yamcha, and Krillin go back in time in a hallucination, maybe, and
fight
those two
Saiyans. Forgot about that. It was really confusing.
Tyler, what have you been doing?
Other than Dokkan Battle.
I don't want to interrupt. There's an entire chapter in the Dragon Ball Z role-playing game about that like weird hallucination flashback. So that you can do hallucination flashback training.
Why?
RPG is not very good.
I remember.
But it's also great.
We played that one.
That's the first RPG we ever played.
Didn't we eventually just decide that we would consider all dice to have rolled ones or
yes,
something like that?
Because the power scaling was so ridiculous, I got you guys to agree that instead of rolling dice, we would just agree they all came up one. Yeah. And you were still killing most things.
Because we were supposed to be rolling. Like
6,000 D6. That system was not made to scale to Dragon Ball Z power levels.
Yeah, we were supposed to be rolling an ass load of D6.
It also had my favorite Saiyan, Arroz. It's Spanish for rice.
Wait, as opposed to arroz?
Yeah. But he also had an arrow attack.
Oh, yeah, that's good. I like that.
What is Nappa anyway?
It's cabbage.
Type of cabbage.
Okay.
I believe it's Chinese.
Distinct from Kaba, which is just cabbage.
What's Bardock then?
A Bardock. It's like a rhubarb.
Oh, it literally is.
No,
just...
I just made that up. I don't know what a Bardock is.
I've looked up what Bardock is, but I don't remember.
Because I know they all are that. Everything in that setting has a...
Can you imagine Akira Toriyama kicking himself for that one arc where Bardock's hanging around with a bunch of people? It's like, I didn't mean to give these people names. Now I have to come up with vegetable puns for everyone.
To be fair, he didn't invent Bardock or his
cohorts.
Okay, well.
So. Was that filler?
That was a TV special.
Okay.
Everything in that series has a naming theme.
Except, like, the DBZ subcast, or I guess, like, Goku's friends.
The Z Fighters?
Yeah, they don't really have
I don't know what Tien and Chaozu's is.
I think Tien is just supposed to be three because of his eyes.
Yeah,
That's what I always thought it was.
Yamcha, Puar, and Oolong are all named after characters from Journey of the West. So is Goku.
Yeah.
And Bulma. Or man. Bulma is underwear.
So actually, you've been watching Dragon Ball Z. I've actually started watching Dragon Ball, the original one. And that's actually, it's a surprisingly good show.
Was it the original Harmony Gold dub of that?
No, I'm watching the sub, actually. So,
yeah, so you don't get Whiskers the Wonder Cat or Longo.
First dub sounds freaking amazingly bad.
The main character is Zero. His sidekick, Bongo. And he trains under Whiskers the Wonder Cat.
I'm so confused.
Because they started at the end of the Red Ribbon Army arc.
What? I'm frustrated with this now. Whiskers the Wonder Cat? Is that a... God damn it, what's his name?
Corrin?
Yes, thank you, yes. Corrin. I was hoping it was Poir. Just because...
No, Poir is Squeakers.
Yeah, no, that's accurate. Poir is Squeakers.
I think Bulma's Tina. She's got a generic white girl name.
Corrin, the most important character in Dragon Ball Z, because that's where they get all the Zenzu beans from.
I imagine he just has, like, a little garden out back.
Every time I think of Sensu Bean, every time I use the Sensu Beans...
You just think, Sensu Bean!
Well, I think of that DBZ, like, one of the only ones I've ever seen. Sensu Bean! Wait, I had, like, 15 of these. Where did they all go?
No, I think my favorite Sensu Bean joke in DBZ Abridged is, they're getting ready to fight Cell. He's like, yeah, we'll just keep feeding Goku Sensu Beans until he wins. And Trunks, like, looks around at everyone, they're all, like, staring at him stone-faced. He's like, okay, you guys either need to loosen your goddamn moral standards or stop betting the earth on death matches. Anyway, so I've been playing mostly Battle, Medical, and Personal Problems all forever.
That's not a good game.
Yeah, the personal problems are more like, I need to get my car dealt with and stuff. The medical problems are like, I've been putting off dealing with medical problems for a while, and I just decided, like, you know what, I should do that. And then the doctor's like, oh, that's bad. You shouldn't be alive. We should run, like, a lot of tests. So I've been doing
that.
Oh,
that's rough.
Yeah, it's been not so much fun, but I'm glad I'm finally getting it dealt with, because, yeah.
Anything fun, Tyler, besides Dokkan Battle, which yes, is our Lord and
actually,
Savior.
Our Lord and Savior Dokkan Battle. I can't remember if I mentioned this, but I finished the Lawn Dark, finally.
Oh, you hadn't mentioned that.
Oh, yeah, so I finished the Lawn Dark. It's good.
What does finishing mean in this context?
Sorry. So, there are two versions of the Lawn Dark. Three, maybe?
You found a light switch.
Yes, it's now the Lawn Light. So there's, like, sandbox mode, which is what the game was for a long time. There are a couple challenges, which they added shortly after the sandbox mode, which are mostly just amusing things to do to add some goals to your sandboxing. And then they added a story mode, and I finished the story mode of what they have out so far. So I got through episode 2. I took as much loot with me as I can. They actually have a gating mechanic, kind of, where you have to climb down things in order to progress the plot. And in order to climb down a rope, you must not be over-encumbered. That game is horrible, because I have to constantly make decisions about what things I want to carry with me. I'm like, well, this food could be useful at some point, but on the other hand, I've got this climbing rope. That might be useful at some
point. Sounds like Dokkan Battle.
Yes, it's a very similar problem where, like, you have limited inventory, and you need to make some tough decisions on what you actually want to keep, which is pretty great. And, like, there's a trade-off between, like, weight of clothing. I actually ended up giving up clothing, which I thought I would never do in that game, but it turns out I don't actually need it, because I stay warm in blizzards even still. So, I beat the story mode of that. There are eventually going to be 3 more episodes at some point, which I assume are going to be paid content, coming out, quote, later this year. So, who knows?
They're running out of year.
Yeah, exactly. To be fair, it came out in August, I want to say, of last year, and I finally got around to playing it, and they said that the new content would come out, like, November-ish of this year. So, they haven't met their very soft deadline yet. That's fun. I also finished West of Loathing in the meantime, kind of unexpectedly.
What did you think of the ending? Because I know how that game ends.
It was a little anticlimactic. I thought the side quests were more important than the actual main story quest, and well, those were a little anticlimactic too.
I don't know if this is fair or not, but the creator of the game's stance on open world games is the story is and shouldn't matter because the side quests are all that's important, and the story of the game is you play the game until you're done and then you stop.
Yep, and I experience pretty much all the content in the game, as far as I can tell. I miss a couple things. They give you, like, a hat rack at the end of the game, where if you haven't sold them, you collect unique hats, and it shows them in your house at the end of the game. And I'm, like, 3 or 4 hats short. Yeah, I don't know what to say about it. Like, that I haven't already said about it, I guess, is I got to the point where I was ridiculously overpowered. Like, I just had so many buffs at any given time, I just killed everything in one hit, and both of my partners died in one hit all the time. It's still really well written, there's a lot of good jokes, there's some really funny scenarios, it's a surprisingly fun game, considering it's like desktop Kingdom of Loathing, so. Although Kingdom of Loathing has a pretty good gameplay loop.
You mean outside of browser Kingdom of Loathing?
Yeah. It's definitely worth playing, especially if it ever goes on sale, like, $2, that game is a steal. I definitely got more than a free game's worth of entertainment out of it.
Anything else, Tyler?
Nothing in particular. What have you been up to? Have you started West of Loathing yet?
No. So mostly Dokkan Battle. But also, I have a Nintendo Switch, and I was like, I should play some stuff on that. So I downloaded the new Sonic game. That's a name I can't remember now.
Sonic Mania.
Yes, I wanted to call it Sonic Madness and knew that was not right.
I was also going to call it Sonic Madness.
It's a different mental disorder.
Yeah. Sonic Mania, which I understand all the reviews. It is exactly some more Sonic the Hedgehog. If you want to travel to a parallel universe where they just made another Sonic the Hedgehog after Sonic and Knuckles instead of grafting Sonic 3D Blast onto a flicky game and then bringing a Sonic Adventure, it's the game you should play. But it also has all the downsides of Sonic.
I've heard the Sonic Rush games are supposed to be pretty good. The ones on the handhelds.
I actually played one Sonic Rush game and I really liked it. Also, I actually really like Sonic Generations, the Xbox 360/ PS3 game. Because you gotta play 2D City Escape. It's everything that's good about Sonic the Hedgehog. But this one has all the same problems of the old Sonics too. In particular, it seems that the way it works is Act 1 is like just a redo of a level, like an exact level. And then Act 2 is a new level with the same theme. It does some really cool boss battles, but like, I had to do the Chemical Zone plant level where, like, you have the little stairs that, like, can crush you.
Oh, God, I hate that level.
Yes. That's one of my favorite levels, and I was getting frustrated with it and didn't like it. So, it's a cool game, but also, I would just play Sonic 2, I think, to be honest.
But, like, it's maybe what a lot of people wanted out of a Sonic game, so...
No, I can definitely see why it's got the good reviews it got. I don't regret buying it, but I don't know that I'm going
to
play it much.
It's probably the best Sonic game to come out in quite a while. So.
Like I said, I think I liked Sonic Generations more, but that's been a while still. So,
like
a couple
two
years
or three
now.
Years now, right?
5 or 6, I think.
Wow. Okay. Well, my sense of time is warped. I judge everything based on when a Penny Arcade about the subject came out.
You did generate, because it's been Generations. Was it the 3D Sonic Unleashed?
Boom? Sonic Boom, is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, Boom
no,
is
I
in there.
Was I know Boom is in there. That's the that was the most recent one before before Generations. Was Unleashed before the Werehog?
Generations is after the Werehog.
Okay, so you're looking at Colors, the Secret Rings.
Colors
and...
is before Generations, too, because there's a Colors level in Generations.
Okay, then my Sonic is entirely screwed up, but also that's because I have paid absolutely no attention to that franchise since Sonic 2.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have paid
and
very little attention to the
occasionally looking in on it, like with Sonic Adventure Battle 2, which I think my brother actually ended, was the one that bought.
That's on 360 now. You can just get it on 360.
It's also
it's
on
weird.
Steam.
It's weird. It's a good game, though.
Is it on Steam? I'm pretty
sure
it is.
Values of good.
Actually, so I can't remember if I mentioned this a while ago. Freedom Planet, I think is what it's called.
Never heard of it.
It's a fan game made in the style of Sonic the Hedgehog with like a little bit of story and RPG stuff tossed in for fun.
Tangent. Remember that time BioWare made a Sonic RPG?
What?
Yes.
That's a real thing.
What?
I've heard of it. I've never actually played it.
I've never heard of this.
I picked it up at a GameStop. I don't know where it is. It might be in my car. It might be in my old Camry. Destroyed, because I don't know if I ever actually brought it inside.
Are these the same people who made the
Mass
Mega
Effect?
Man RPG?
No, the people who made Mass Effect.
Yeah.
And
Dragon Age.
Yeah, I know who BioWare is. I just, like, I assumed there were other hidden gems. I use gems loosely.
That Mega Man X RPG is pretty good, but it wasn't BioWare.
Okay.
It has Gambit in it for some reason.
What are the weighty moral decisions that Sonic is making?
I haven't played it, so I don't know.
Maybe it's all from the Archie comics.
Well, BioWare games aren't all about weighty moral decisions.
Only the good parts.
Yeah, only the parts you actually are playing the game for.
But I wonder which random woodland creature Sonic has to prove innocent of being accused of murdering somebody.
Sonic court case has got to be gold, right?
Wait, what?
BioWare quest. Do you remember that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
You have to prove somebody's innocent, but they're not really innocent, but they are kind of innocent.
I thought you were making a Phoenix Wright reference, and I'm like, I would play Sonic the Ace Attorney.
No, I was specifically talking about the BioWare quest, where there's always the quest where you have to prove somebody may or not, may not be innocent of a crime.
I would play the hell out of a BioWare Ace Attorney game.
It
would that quest.
That would be awesome, actually. A BioWare Ace Attorney game.
But anyway, the other thing I've been playing is Mario Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
How is that? Because I've heard
very
conflicting
interesting
items on that.
Everything I've seen on it makes it look like it's just XCOM light.
It's very different from XCOM because you don't have a hit chance. So it's a lot more puzzly because you do have a hit chance, but it's based entirely on cover and the positioning of units.
So you can control it exactly.
And you can get to 100%. So because of that, it becomes much more of a puzzle game and less of a tactical game, and you can take a lot more risks and you are rewarded more heavily for them because you can put someone out in the middle of nowhere, and as long as you know you will kill whatever you're fighting.
Yeah, so Peanut Butter Gamer did a full review of it, and he really liked it, or at least found it extremely amusing.
I really like it so far. I haven't unlocked the upgrade trees or any of the real exciting stuff that I wanted to see. But it plays very differently from XCOM because there's not that danger of a permadeath of a character. But also, like, you can't
have a... No! Rabid Peach!
You're never in the situation where you have a 95% chance to miss and whiff either.
You mean 95% chance to hit and whiff?
Yes, that is what I meant. Or conversely, the 95% chance to miss and you crit and...
Kill
him,
yeah.
Take him down. So it's much more of a puzzle game. It's still got a tactical element to it. But every map has a solution.
Sounds
in a way
like it's
that
missing...
XCOM doesn't.
Sounds like it's missing the fun bits.
It's a different kind of fun. I'll give it that. Like, it's definitely not good for the same reasons XCOM is good, even though they're very similar games. This game definitely wouldn't exist without XCOM. There's no question there. But it's chasing after something very different, which I find interesting. It's also a lot wackier, obviously, and that leads to some interesting powers just from what I've got so far. Like, there's one gun I have that has a chance of knocking people back, and it can knock them off the map, for example. Or knock them into, like, lines of fire, and then Mario and Luigi can overwatch them.
What? You mean that the Mario and Rabbids aren't some gritty, you know, defend the Mushroom Kingdom against the invading armies of...
No, that's a different game. That's Mario and the Rabbids at the World Olympics.
The one thing I don't like about it is I really don't like the Rabbids sense of humor, which I knew going in, but, like, they really push it.
What is it?
It's very slapstick and French. Like, I don't know how to describe it. It doesn't work for me. Let me put it that way.
There's always been this weird thing where, like, I get Minions, but I don't really get Minions. And I feel like
Rabbids are very similar. Exactly. That is what it is.
I've always preferred situational humor
to
slapstick.
And there's not much of that yet. Although the plot is Banana Land, which is that there's an alternate universe where this hot nerd girl has invented a thing that can just fuse any two things, and she wants to use it to solve the energy crisis.
I'm not sure how, but I'm sure you can come up with a way.
And also, she's a Mario weeaboo, and has all this Mario merchandise. So the Rabbids travel in a washing machine to this universe somehow, steal the confiner, and end up in the Mario world. It is off the train from Jump Street.
Wow.
I remember when they were presenting the game at E3, the creator was, like, in the front row, and they kept showing shots of him, and, like, people were, like, lampooning it, and he was just there, like, yep, this is exactly what I wanted this to be.
Yeah, no, it has that feeling. It's just very weird, and I wish the humor was better, because they like to put it up front and center, but the gameplay is actually very compelling. Like I said, it's very different from XCOM, despite being the same interface and...
It's like a puzzle puzzle-solving mechanic, because there's not as much randomness. You have to, like...
There still is a lot of randomness in the weapons, so I wonder if later on that will be more important. Like, the bounce gun I talked about has a 10% chance to bounce someone. So there's randomness in that element, but you can afford to take a lot more offensive risks, because you know you will hit or not. And I feel like you always know how much damage you will deal.
And you're not as concerned with losing a character because they're not going to be gone for good because you made a mistake.
This ain't Fire Emblem. Now we need Rabbids X Fire Emblem.
Like I said, I haven't unlocked the upgrade tree yet, so I don't want to talk too much about this specific element. But since they don't have the base building stuff, instead they have some world exploration stuff between levels, which I'm not sure how I feel about. It's a Mario game where you don't have a jump, and traversing this world without a jump doesn't feel right. There are some interesting environmental puzzles that upgrade, like, or unlock new weapons and stuff like that, which I like as an idea, but I wish that it played a little better.
That's actually kind of what I thought about,
It definitely needs something to break up the battles, so I'm not opposed to it, but I wish it just worked a little better.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why the base building works so well in XCOM, is because it fits perfectly to break up the battles, so you do all your base building stuff and improve all your guys and then go to fighting.
When I get the upgrade tree, I wonder if it will serve a similar purpose. Because, like, just having gear loadouts, because, like I said, there are different special weapons, so there are a lot more gear choices. That's already been really compelling because money is tight. So I had to pick who do I give a good gun and what of these three special powers, which one do I want? So I'm very interested in continuing to go with it. I'm not sure what I feel of it yet, but I do like it just first impressions, despite the long, long opening cutscene.
For some reason, the description of this has reminded me that I never finished Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker, which I think is a shame.
People like that game. It's also a puzzle game.
It is also a puzzle game, which is why it reminded me of that, actually.
That is more a puzzle game.
It's explicitly a puzzle game, in fact.
Listening to this reminds me of the fact that I haven't finished War of the Chosen and Tyler never started XCOM 1.
Nope.
So speaking of Mario and not of rabbits, the assignment this week was Super Mario 64 DS, which is a mouthful of a title.
Well, it's not Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm 3 The Armageddoning.
That's true. It is not the best title of all time. So this is a port of Mario 64 to the DS, like is in the name. It's basically a showcase of the DS's power. The Game Boy Advance was kind of as powerful as a Super Nintendo, so they put Super Nintendo games on it. They wanted to show that the DS was sort of as powerful as an N64.
And so they sure did put an N64 game on it.
To their credit, compared to their previous Mario, like, relaunches, they actually did a lot of work changing this one up. Right from the get-go, you're playing as Yoshi instead of Mario. Unfortunately, the DS is not the right place to play this game. Because the thing that works really well about Super Mario 64 is the controls. The controls are, like, the first time a 3D game felt good, not counting first-person perspectives, which are, before this were kind of cheating to do 3D, which still counts, but it was a different sort of thing. This was the first game that made moving in a 3D space feel good, unlike Sonic 3D Blast, which we mentioned earlier, where it feels like garbage ass.
They still didn't have the camera, but we wouldn't get the camera for another generation.
But, like, platforming was possible. Like, that was an accomplishment.
Unfortunately, the DS, this just doesn't control right. I don't know how to put it other than that. They've made it so that you have to hold a run button to move quickly.
Yeah.
And I don't know who the hell thought that was a good idea. Your options are just to move too slowly to really effectively platform.
Or always have to hold the button.
And holding a button when you have to rely on a jump is really bad, especially when you want to do things like crouch jump to do long jump inputs and stuff.
I have generally come to the conclusion that push button should be walk by default, and you should always, or I guess you should always be running by default, and push a button to slow down if you need to have the
acceleration. Usually what it's done now is that you push the stick all the way forward to run, and then you only have it, you don't push it all the way forward to walk.
Yeah,
Mario
analog
64
helps.
Established that. Like, that is an old hat trick.
But back when they first came out with the DS, correct me if I'm wrong, it didn't actually have an analog stick
on
it, right?
No, just a D-pad. But, like, the standard walking speed is too fast to, like, effectively sneak, and way too slow to effectively platform. It's this perfect awkward mess. And also, every time you're trying to move in there, I just feel like I'm going at an awkward angle that's not what I want. There are so many just control deaths that never would have happened in the original.
That is very true, because you have less precise control over which direction you're heading.
Aiming was super imprecise anytime I was trying to do anything where it's like, I want to send this over there, but the controls were finicky and trying to figure out where exactly I was pointing because the camera was off staring at something else.
And it's worse that they start you as Yoshi. And I actually like them starting you as Yoshi because Yoshi's in Mario 64 on top of that castle and everyone wanted to play as him. And it's like a cool twist if you don't know it's coming and you played Mario 64 before. But Yoshi's attack is this directional tongue thing where he eats enemies and turns them into eggs and then can directionally throw them, which doesn't control well at all because he's so hard to aim at something.
Oh, I didn't even know you could put them into eggs. I thought you just ate them up and then you could I just spat them back out at whatever I was trying to hit. I still miss most of the
Yoshi's
time.
Island.
Yeah, if you wait, you'll turn them into eggs and then you can store up ammo, basically.
Oh, okay.
Which is a cool idea, but doesn't control well, so it's kind of moot.
Also, waiting is never fun. Like, I suppose that's not quite true, but waiting without purpose other than to make ammo is not fun.
Well, I mean, usually I would still be moving. Like, I would eat them and walk where I'm going, and, like, after a few seconds it would turn into an egg. And if I needed to shoot it beforehand, I would shoot it beforehand.
Well, I was specifically thinking, you know, just not really having the option because you're waiting for this other thing to happen. Me and Tyler have talked about when we were playing Payday, when doing the missions right, you're not really doing anything. You're waiting for things to happen.
They got better with that later on, but it was really obvious they didn't know what they were doing in early levels because, like, drilling into a safe takes exactly the same amount of time if you're loud as it does when you're quiet because, they didn't understand that waiting when you're not having any tension is not fun, right? It's similarly, Like, if for some reason you need to just, like, wait around, if you're the type of person like me who just, like, doesn't mind waiting to do that sort of stuff, like, then you kind of bore yourself. I'm shooting myself in the foot while doing that, but it feels like the optimal way to do it.
So, in addition to Yoshi, you can also play as Luigi or Wario in this. You have to unlock them and Mario by going deeper into the castle. They kind of replace the power-up caps from the original Mario 64. Mario gets a floating power that's very similar to the way the wing cap worked. Luigi gets invisibility, which is exactly like it was in Mario 64, and Wario gets the metal power. Yoshi gets fire breath.
One of these seems not like the other.
Well, it's new. Unfortunately, just creates this, like, need to replay levels as different characters, which isn't especially fun. It reminds me of the weak parts of Banjo-Kazooie, where it kind of makes the world bigger because you need these abilities.
Yeah, the transformation thing.
To fully explore it, but it just makes you backtrack more.
I've never liked backtracking, and I've never liked having to go back to a level I've already completed or, you know, play the same level over and over and over again because I'm trying to scavenger hunt things. I find it tedious and kind of annoying, and the fact that you have to go unlock these other characters and go all the way back to these original levels in order to find a couple of things because you're trying to get 100% or because you're required to or whatever, it's just annoying.
And I really do like this type of game, but it sucks when you go in as the wrong character. And, like, the cool thing about Mario 64 was kind of seeing something weird and out of place and kind of exploring around it and seeing, like, is this just a weird thing in this game? Or is this, like, a secret? Is this a star? In this, you don't know if you're the right character to even do that. And that creates a barrier
and
that I don't like.
And you can't change characters in levels. You have to actually change them in the castle.
You can do it, but only by getting power-ups that are hats of the characters, and not every hat is on every level.
So one of my favorite ways I've seen this done was actually in The Legend of Goemon, the N64 one, where you get additional characters, and then each of those characters got power-ups, and those served as funny-shaped keys, but also you could just play as whichever one that you prefer the controls of.
Well, and you changed characters by pressing a button in that
game.
Yeah,
like, you can just do it whenever.
Yeah, the thing is, anytime you have something like this, where you've got multiple characters, and you need specific characters in order to open a lock, you need to let the player switch characters in the levels so they can actually...
Or at least have a point in the level that he can go to switch, like, yeah, even if you don't allow it ad hoc.
I mean, being able to change characters without having to go out, pick a character, and hope it's the right one to access it, because you might think, oh, this one I need Mario's fly power-up, but in reality you need Luigi's invisibility power up. So you go in as Yoshi initially, look at it, go, oh, I don't need that, switch to Mario. Oh, it's the wrong one. Go back in as Luigi, think, oh crap, this must be the wrong one, and then go back in as Wario, and then eventually you find out I need to. So you've done this like 4 times. Even if you've done it right, you've done it 3 times, which is really annoying.
Yeah, I'm just not a fan of it. They've also added some new stars, which is nice, but most of them feel pretty lazy.
There's kind of tacked on.
Yeah, there's this new mechanic where you can get 5 silver stars to unlock a big star, but that just feels like a worse version of the red coins that are already there. There's some new ones that rely on the specific new powers of the characters, but none of them are really exciting. This is just overall, I was left with a very bad taste in my mouth just playing this game. And Mario 64 is legit one of my favorite games of all time. It's a game I've speedrun. It's a game I've tried to get very good at just because I enjoyed it. The controls just ruined this game to me. It was, like, almost unplayable. It's the most frustrated I've ever gotten playing a video game for this podcast.
One thing I want to mention is that if you do get this game, even after what we've talked about, and you get it on your Wii U, you want to mess with the display. I didn't find it, but the base display just has the, like, 3DS or DS in the, like, display, and then the 2 screens are actually what you're trying to look at, so most of the monitor is just dead space.
Yeah,
which, I would have preferred it just being blacked out rather than having the DS thing there, because it's a little distracting.
The display I used was basically, it sort of picture-in-picture the bottom screen in a corner, and then most of the screen was the top screen.
Okay, that would have been a lot easier and better to work with. I wish...
You can also do it that the top screen is on the TV and the bottom screen is...
I was hoping that would be the base display, but it was not.
Have you played Wind Waker on the Wii U yet?
I've played through the first dungeon.
Okay. So I just really like what they did with the inventory system.
Oh, it's super
on that.
Good. Twilight Princess, they did the same thing for.
So. Gotcha.
Where it's your inventory nice. Is on the Wii U?
Yeah.
It's on the gamepad. On the gamepad.
That's super great anytime because you don't have to break the flow to do items. Arkham Origins did that as well, which is a terrible game, but it was super nice to have that D-pad functionality.
I think most
of the games I'm familiar with that used the gamepad and the TV used something like that. I know Xenoblade used a slightly different setup because you needed the map.
Yeah, but it was also like functioned as like a source of information because you could poke on the map and then like zoom into a sector and stuff and like actually like do stuff.
I don't know.
I'm sad the Wii U didn't work. I understand why it didn't, but that gamepad was very convenient in a lot of games.
I don't remember what Bayonetta 2 actually was supposed to use it for because I always played it on the gamepad.
Also, it's just fun to play stuff on the gamepad.
There's that.
But the Switch kind of has that, so. Any other thoughts on Mario 64 DS? It's definitely my least favorite remake. I'm not sure if it's worse than Wonder Boy. We'll discuss that in a little bit. But it was just very frustrating. It lost everything that's good about Mario 64.
And Mario 64, as we already established on this podcast, didn't age well. And this did absolutely nothing to update it.
That's true. I kind of wonder, like, how was this game received when it first came out?
Strangely positive. I looked at some reviews of that. Lots of eights, which, you know, in the game industry is
pretty
just slightly above average, but it's still, like, you can give it a 7 and skate by.
I think those are nostalgia blinkers.
Some of them were, like, people who hadn't played the original. It was really perplexing to me.
I mean, you mentioned earlier that this game was intended to be multiplayer early on, and they kind of went away from that.
Yeah.
What were the vestiges of that? Just the different characters?
The reason they added new characters was, like, so you could be Mario and Luigi together. And they couldn't really make the multiplayer work, so they just kept the characters in.
That kind of makes those character-specific puzzles make a lot more sense, because if you're, like, playing with a four-person group, you, like, go there, and then that one player gets a chance to shine, right?
Yeah. In that context, that makes a lot of sense, because you're like, hey, Wario, try your thing here.
Yeah, instead of having to go out to the load screen, change characters, go back there. I hate it when games do that.
All right. So speaking of games Zach hates, we have a list on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. List of the games we've played, from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger, a game Zach hates because it's above Doom.
Yes.
Zach, why do you hate Contra 3 The Alien Wars, the game in the middle of the list?
It was kind of bland, uninspired. Hate is maybe too strong a word.
I don't feel anything for that.
At the bottom is Echo the Dolphin, a game that is inherently hateable.
I'm actually kind of surprised it hasn't been deposed from the bottom of the list yet. But
what have we played that's worse since then?
Well, and I don't.
There have been a couple of games that I thought were worse, but you guys didn't. But yeah. I don't remember what they are now.
Yeah, it's been like three or four.
Lots of stuff that's like just above that.
Yeah, like, yeah, I don't probably have an answer to what's worse than it, but I'm surprised we haven't found anything worse than it.
So we're going to start at Super Mario 64, which is this is a remake of. We're unanimously agreeing it's worse than that, right?
Yeah.
I think it's the worst Mario game we've played, to be blunt. The next Mario game down on the list is Super Mario Bros. 2, the American one.
Oh.
Doki Doki Panic?
Doki Doki Panic.
I like Doki Doki Panic.
Yeah, more than this, certainly.
Yeah, I think Doki Doki Panic is better than this, especially because a lot of the things that they ended up doing stuck around as Mario and Co.
The silver stars from this stuck around, right?
And kind one other of, thing. But I feel like they just became a replacement for red coins because 5 was a more manageable number than 8.
Yeah.
Next Mario on our list is first portable Mario, Super Mario Land 2, the introduction of Wario.
Yeah, the one where you've got like the island and like the 5 different zones or something.
Yeah.
I
think that game was better than this. It definitely had some flaws, but controls were not one of them.
It was certainly inventive. This is starting to get to questionable territory.
I think Super Mario DS 64.
Super subtitle Mario.
I think that's actually better than that Game Boy one, because the environments, yeah, it controlled okay, but the environments were very small. Very bland. There's almost nothing in most of them.
I think you're thinking of Super Mario Land 1 and not Land 2. Land 2 is the one where you have a much bigger sprite. Like, Mario's nose is very distinct. You're thinking of the right one? Okay.
Yeah, because that's the problem, is they put so much into Mario, there's nothing else that can show up on screen.
That's true. But, again, it controls well as a platformer, and this one doesn't.
It also took the series in a different direction.
Sort of.
Well, okay, yeah, not a drastically different direction, but it added some new ideas to it in a way that Mario Attack of the Subtitles does not. But like I said, this is starting to get into questionably better territory for me.
So not much further down is Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels, aka Super Mario Bros. 2 Japan, a game Zach doesn't like because it's mean. And that's a fair criticism of it. It is a hostile game.
It's unfairly difficult. I'm surprised it's that high.
And like, it feels a little unfair to lampoon them for being a product of the era, but like, it's not a very fun or inventive sequel. It's just a harder sequel.
My
It's an expansion pack.
Yeah.
Basically, yes. My defense of it would be that it still controls well, and it is what it means to be, whereas this means to be a portable version of Super Mario 64, and I feel falls short of that. Zach, I'm guessing you're thinking Mario DS is better than this.
Yes.
Tyler, what are your thoughts?
Conflicted. I have to think about it a little bit, but as I'm stewing on it, I think I'm going to lean towards Lost Levels, but very slightly.
Unfair difficulty is one of the things that really pisses me off.
Yeah, and they do pull that bull. There's a hidden block here thing that
you have to land on or you die. Good luck.
Well, it's actually you have to reveal it and jump off of it or you die, but still, like, it's a little...
You gotta know it's there.
Yeah, it's a little I want to be the guy E.
So next is Super Mario Land, the first DS one with... Or DS one, the first Game Boy one, rather, with little tiny Mario, which I like a lot more than you guys, so...
That is true. And actually, I was going to say, I think this is where I draw the line, because that game was kind of bland, kind of like the controls were a little loosey-goosey, especially for a Mario game. It was slow, oddly. It did not hold up in my memory.
Thoughts, Zach?
I still think Mario DS is better than the first one you went through, so...
So you know how Zach operates. If we ever go past a threshold, he never reevaluates it in the current context.
Well, because I obviously used some kind of metric to put the other ones above it, and if it's better than the one I put above it, and that game is really bad. So Super Mario DS is 64 DS Attack of the Subtitles is better than that one.
I don't know, it's also pretty bad, so...
Yeah, I honestly think this is the worst Mario game I've ever played, Super Mario 64 DS.
Although part of that is, I think you also hold Super Mario 64 on a much higher pedestal than either of us do.
Certainly I do, but, like, also this controls bad, and that's, like, the worst thing a platformer can do.
I don't have Super Mario 64 on a pedestal.
Why not? Did it fall off?
Because why would I put it on a pedestal? It's not really all that good. It held up, like, about as well as a... biscuit trying to hold up an 8-ton block.
Okay, so the next platformer going up we have is the original Sonic the Hedgehog. Another game I would rate above Super Mario 64 DS, but that's because Sonic the Hedgehog has a lot of problems, but controls aren't really one of them. It's more a problem of level design.
I didn't play this one.
It is more flashy and more colorful. They're obviously trying to differentiate themselves, and obviously it worked because Sonic is extremely fondly remembered. I say remembered because really at this point we're just riding his corpse around like a head crab.
Sonic Mania seems good, like I said.
I think I would have to agree that I prefer Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay, so these are two games I don't want to compare. We'll just go to the one that's right above Super Mario Land. How do we think it compares to SimCity 2000? Because I think this favorably.
I actually agree, because SimCity 2000 was kind of boring and definitely had some feedback problems, but I think
once
it
functioned
better.
Once you knew what you were doing, you could spawn Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly. No, I mean...
Yeah, I have to give it SimCity 2000.
It was kind of quirky, like, who would think that a city simulator is a game that anyone would want to play, other than, you know, people who play the first SimCity.
So Super Mario 64 DS will go at number 116, below SimCity 2000 and above Super Mario Land.
That's in the bottom half, right?
It is.
Just barely.
I would have put it much lower, which is strange, because usually I'm the one who wants to argue these up higher.
No, and I feel like it was a pretty middle-of-the-road game.
Although I say much lower. I see Elevator Action not far from here, and I would have put it above that.
But Elevator Action!
So, speaking of convoluted storylines, we are now in October because we don't know how months work.
That's true.
Or themes work. So we're going to play the final Halloween-themed remake game we're playing, which is a very different game. It's almost an entirely different game and not a remake. Like, it's a port to another system that was less powerful and had to be changed greatly. So we're going to play as our final game in our remake month and a half, Castlevania Dracula X, the port of the one with Ryu Belmont.
I was going to say, Rondo of not actually having Rondos?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
Actually, it's on the Super Nintendo, so it's on the Wii U Virtual Console.
Okay, that's what
not
I was
the Wii
about
Virtual
to ask.
Console. You need a Wii U. You need to be one of us 1%ers to play this one. It's not worth it.
So, and this is a port of Rondo of Blood, right?
Port is... Yes. Yes, okay. It is. So next time on Last Time, you're technically correct. A joke I've almost certainly used before.
This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2017. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. To listen to past episodes and see other content, visit www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to reach us by email, you can do so at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate a 5-star review, or if you just told a friend about the show. What is a podcast? A miserable pile of secrets. But this one is over. See you next week.
Ah, what the heck was I going to say? It was something about tingles in the back and maybe also Super Saiyans? Nah, it's gone now. Never mind.